I hereby introduce to you, Mr. Michael Veazey.
Hi there, this is Michael Veazey, the host of Amazing FBA, the place to be if you are selling in the USA or the UK, but you are UK-based. It's for Amazon FBA private label sellers. I don't deal with retail arbitrage. There are other places you can find out about that. And at the moment, I'm not dealing with product development and innovation, but that is something that I'm going to be getting into soon. So welcome to the podcast. This is a little in-between. So I'm actually traveling, I'm actually on the road, but I thought that I have some thoughts that I really need to share, despite the fact that this is not going to be the best audio quality. So I hope you'll forgive me that in advance. But I've got some things that I feel are just very, very important things to share. And I just wanted to get them out there before I forget these things, because I'm sort of in my flow. So this is what I suppose we call an in-between episode, but it's episode 33. There will be many interviews, as we've had recently. And if you haven't caught the interview, which I split over into two parts, episode 31 and 32 with Danny McMillan, dealing with Amazon ads and pay-per-click, then you'll want to get yourself over to those as soon as you can, because that's one of the big pain areas, it seems, in the business. And that comes not from my own ideas and experience, although it does, but very much comes from the group, the Facebook group, which is a place where people will, you know, can communicate with me back and forth, and it's much more of a conversation. And I've heard overwhelmingly from that group that they really need that they really need certain areas of help, and Amazon Ads is one of those. Today, I'm going to talk about a big picture. So it's not a tactical stuff. We'll continue to give you tactical tips and strategies, but I'm going to talk big picture stuff. I'm going to overall talk about mindset. And this is something that comes from outside the Amazon FBA bubble, if you like, and even the entrepreneurial startup bubble, where everyone kind of ends up reading the same books and listening to the same podcasts and sharing the same quotes, information. I say quotes because some of it is just ways of thinking, some of which are really helpful, but I think it's very healthy to have ways of thinking and approaches to life that come from outside of the immediate bubble. And in fact, that's one of the things that Richard Koch says in the amazing 80-20 book, is that, look, for goodness sake, get yourself outside of your immediate industry and get some input from other people. Otherwise, you're in a severe danger of just ending up, stuck in the one way of thinking and, you know, conventional solutions. And the problem with that is, number one, that everyone else is doing the same thing, so your business is not differentiated from the competition because everyone's copying each other. And number two, you're not really going to grow as a business person, and therefore your business isn't going to really grow if you don't draw on a wide and sort of healthy, varied diet, if you like. So that's the first thing I've got to say, really, is, you know, draw on a varied diet. For goodness sake, get outside the Amazon pool. If you're in Amazon groups and you're following the details and the nitty-gritty of Amazon's latest algorithm update, the Facebook ads changing, whatever it is that's fashionable and what everyone's talking about, yes, you need to keep abreast of that. Yes, you do. I'm not saying don't do that. It's not either or, but it's both and. Do that and get outside of that Amazon bubble and go and look at what other businesses are doing, and get outside the entrepreneurial bubble and go and deal with people from diverse walks of life. I'm talking about, you know, you could speak to your priest or rabbi or whatever, somebody of a spiritual nature. You could go and talk to somebody like your gran, or, you know, somebody, you know, depending what age you are, you know, somebody who has been there, done that, got the t-shirt and lived a very long and happy life. You know, just get wisdom from different places. And this sounds like, what's that got to do with business? Well, a lot, because I think a lot of business is about personal qualities at the end of the day that show up in your success or failure. Now, one of the obvious qualities I'm going to talk about is courage. Entrepreneurs got to have courage. Now, that is kind of obvious and yet not obvious. I mean, there are a lot of things that the Amazon business model works with that seem to give you a degree of certainty, which I think is actually delusory, right? And let's talk about that. So certainty, or the need for certainty, is a sort of thing that you have if you're an employee and you're willing to go to work and put up with a job that you basically find fairly meaningless and a salary you find menial and, you know, all of that, because you value the security of the employment. Now, secure income is not to be sniffed at. It's not to be devalued, right? But equally, that is not the employee mindset is not the entrepreneurial mindset, right? Now, part of me has an employee mindset. Right now, I still do a certain degree of work where the salary is totally determined by someone else. And I find the work menial and I find the salary menial. But I have a certain degree of need for security of income and predictability. Now, that's okay in my book to have a degree of that in my life at the moment, because I'm developing a business, which is by definition, as it's a startup, that got a large level of uncertainty and therefore income uncertainty as well. And I think it's very sensible to have a degree of certainty in an uncertain sort of mix of work and business, if you like. But the main quality that an entrepreneur is going to need is courage. And that means the courage above all to deal with uncertainty. And one of the problems with the way that the Amazon business model has been taught so far, in my experience of the training I've received and what I see out there as well, is because quite understandably and very positively, people, for example, like Scott Volker or Daniel Wagner, are trying to get people out there into entrepreneurship who are very shy about it and who are therefore getting stuck in their lives and not taking off as entrepreneurs in a way that they could do. The problem with that is they're encouraging people into it with a rather rosy picture of reality, which I don't think actually does them a service long term, because the uncertainty intrinsic to business is not removed in the Amazon marketplace. The uncertainty that is removed in the Amazon marketplace, I think, is the uncertainty about demand, because you can see the figures, and with tools like Jungle Scout, you can measure pretty precisely what the demand on page one is for any given sort of keywords or keyword combination. You know, for example, silicon spatula, you know, garlic press, all the joke sort of products that people use. Or for example, but you think, I don't know, cooking knives. Don't sell cooking knives. That is not a good choice of product. But what I'm saying is that yes, you can measure demand. You can see the competition to a degree. What you can't see, though, is whether a particular variation of a type of product will take off or not. Now, you can make some pretty good estimations and guesses and predictions so that this is a great business model. Yes, it does reduce uncertainty. It really does. And if it's well structured and the way you're trained and the way you think and the way you approach things is correct, you will reduce the uncertainty, but you will never eliminate uncertainty, ever. And you will never eliminate risk. And those are the two elements that you have to battle with as an entrepreneur, that you have to deal with. Now, coupled with courage then, for those who do have the courage to get in there, there's a very big tendency to sort of, very importantly, understandably, big up achievements, big up sales, for example, big up the fact that you picked a product, big up the fact that you've even got started. And that's fair enough, because most people fantasize about starting a business and never actually do it. So it makes perfect sense to acknowledge yourself. That being said, though, there's a big difference between encouraging yourself by being courageous and, you know, building your own courage by saying, yes, I've managed to make X number of sales, $10,000 of sales this month, $1,000, my first sale, whatever that stage is for you. But there's a world of difference between that and deluding yourself, right? And so I think the second characteristic of a great entrepreneur is something that people don't talk about enough, which is honesty. Now, I'm not talking about the sort of honesty that says to your customers, you know what, we messed up. Our product obviously was defective. I'll replace it. You know, that's good customer service. And yes, you should be honest. You shouldn't claim to have an amazing product if it's mediocre. Right now, have I claimed that? To a degree, I've pushed for that sort of thing. I've had mediocre products. I'm now getting more and more fussy about my product selection, which is a whole different conversation. I'm not going to get into that. But honesty that I'm talking about is, don't kid anybody about yourself. Don't kid anybody about your products, I should say. And don't kid yourself. Don't fool yourself. And by the way, the other truth is, you're the easiest person to fool. Right? Because you have to believe in yourself. You have to believe you could be a business person. And that's very, very important, that step of belief, right? That's really crucial. You have to believe that the business model you're working on could work, or you shouldn't get into it. And you have to believe when you start off with it, a product you pick and go and buy a certain amount of, whether it's like a sample size or like a full-on private label, 500,000 units straight in, whatever that is, you have to believe that your product selection has got a good chance of working. But you have to have the courage, and again, courage is the quality, but you have to have the courage to confront reality and look at the numbers and be honest, rigorously, even brutally honest with yourself about what the numbers tell you. You know, you pick a product, you launch it. Okay, great. You've given away a certain amount of units for review. Good. Read the reviews. What do they actually say? I'm giving good due consideration to the fact that you've just paid for these effectively, and you can't pay for reviews. Amazon's terms of service don't allow it, but okay, you've given somebody a product that's worth, say, $15 for a dollar, right? So you've kind of almost paid in kind for reviews effectively. So if those reviews are pretty, a 4-star, which is Amazon code for, you know, in real life, 2-star, right? We all know that hardly anyone gives 2-star reviews unless they're really getting out of bed, a bad side, you know, but they're having a really bad hair day. But 4-star is not a compliment on Amazon. It doesn't mean it's a good, it means just about okay, doesn't it? We all know this, right? So acknowledge that truth for starters. Don't kid yourself. Read what they say. Look at it. If you get a lot of returns or customer complaints, acknowledge the fact that you may have a duff product or that you have a generally okay product, but this particular batch is rubbish. I had my very first product, I had 500 units of one particular variation of it. I ended up with two variations, so that's another story, which I've told elsewhere. But that one of those variations came 500 units, of which 50, 10%, guys, not a lot, 1 or 2%, but 10%, were defective even when they were inspected at my Amazon warehouse at FBA inspection in the USA, right? And then of the remaining 450 odd units, it turned out that about another 20 were defective. So that's overall defect rate of about 11, 12%. Horrific, right? So I had to confront that reality and go, you know what, I'm making sales. I'm even, you know, breaking even and in some cases making a profit, but this is going to trash my reputation. And I had to make a difficult decision, even though I built that listing up and I'd spent a lot of money doing giveaways and got reviews in, that I had to discontinue that variation because I couldn't trust the quality control that the factory was producing on that particular variation. The other variation of pretty much the same product had a certain number of defects, but they were about sort of 2% level. Not great, but acceptable. So confronting reality feels like, oh, it's going to dent my confidence and therefore I'm not going to have courage. Well, I would encourage you, and there's the word courage again, I would encourage you, I would strengthen your resolve to differentiate between confidence and courage, okay? Now, I think confidence is one of those qualities which I believe is a great thing in a person, is very important, particularly in anyone who's trying to persuade anyone else. So as an entrepreneur, you're trying to sell something, right? You're trying to sell your product to customers, but you're also trying to sell your overall business to, for example, a bank manager you want to loan, to members of staff that you want to hire, etc., right? To suppliers, to say, yeah, it's worth bothering to supply you with a small quantity now because you have big visions for the future, right? Etc. Confidence is great. Confidence is important. But I think that sheer confidence is overrated. And that's one of those things that I think we've caught, the British have caught an American disease, which is worshipping at the throne of confidence to an excessive degree. Confidence is very, very powerful. But if confidence is based on nothing except confidence itself, it will crash and burn. I would almost put a guarantee on that, right? Confidence should come from wins, evidence for the fact that you are doing well. Now, it's chicken and egg. You've got to start off with some self-belief, and I'm absolutely 100%, 200% in favor of that. Absolutely. And I truly, honestly believe that courage is more important. I think confidence comes from succeeding in certain areas. And I think confidence in certain areas and not in others is absolutely fine and rational behavior. I'm very confident I can sit down and play the piano and I can sight read difficult scores because I've done it a lot. I'm not confident that I can sit down and do the same thing with the guitar. And that's very good, because if I deluded myself that I could do that, that confidence would last until I sat down, and if I got hired to play the guitar professionally, it would last until I twanged a few strings badly and then people realize I can't play the guitar. Confidence is not enough, right? Courage is when you go into a situation and you're brave enough to admit you're afraid and you do it anyway. You're brave enough to admit that you are ignorant, but that you will learn through doing, and you get on with learning by doing, and you admit that you're ignorant. You don't have confidence that you know lots yet. You have confidence that you will be able to learn the process, and that down the line you will have a business if you follow certain principles, and that you will become a business person if you develop in the right way. But you don't have the confidence that you don't have the delusion that you know everything yet, because delusion will lead to crashing and burning, and that won't help your confidence. That will smash your confidence. So courage, guys, is the thing you need more than confidence. Confidence is very important, but confidence should and will develop when you make genuine wins, when you learn something new and you implement it and you see a result and you go, not only have I learned about Amazon ads, for example, but I have now implemented it. I have seen a result and I have learned that if I adjust XYZ, for example, if I learned from Danny McMillan, the great guy who came on and did our last podcast interview about Amazon ads, so that's why it's an example that's fresh in my mind. I have learned that if I get the negative keywords and I put those into my Amazon auto campaign, Amazon ads auto campaign, I should say, that I will then get less wasted clicks and I get a more profitable campaign. Right? Then you have some reason to begin some confidence about handling Amazon ads. There's an example. Have the courage, have the wisdom, and that's another example of another undervalued, totally undervalued quality that people don't talk about enough, but I'll talk about that in a sec. But you've got the courage to learn something and get out and take action and get a result and then adjust your process based on the result, i.e. you are being guided by reality, which comes back down to rigorous honesty. Look at the numbers and let them guide you. It's not all about numbers. It can be words. Sometimes a customer will come back to you and say, your customer service is awful. This happened, this happened, this happened. Now, the objective truth is not what the person is saying to you. The objective truth is you have one pissed off customer. That is not necessarily a condemnation of your customer service, for example. Yeah, but it is a reason why you might want to look again at your customer service processes. 10 pissed off customers probably is a major hint that there is actually something wrong, right? So I'm not saying to overreact to bad news, bad numbers, or bad feedback from customers. You get a one-star review, don't bury your head in the sand and pretend it isn't happening and do nothing about it. Don't beat yourself up. That won't help your confidence and it doesn't do anything for the customer either. Get onto the customer, apologize, refund the product, replace the product, find out what's going on, take quick action and learn from it. And that will, that learning will over time increase your confidence that you can deal with, you know, customer service issues, for example, right? I remember my first one-star review, it felt like the end of the world. I dealt with it, I replaced the product, I sent a very quick and apologetic email, immediately replaced the product and refunded them. They were delighted, they took the one-star review down, job done, right? Now I get a one-star review and it hasn't happened for quite a while because I'm more careful about the products I put out there, but when it happens, I deal with it quickly. Most of the time it can be resolved. Occasionally it will stick and it reduces the overall, you know, conversion of that page, but I just try and balance that out by voting it down, for example, or, and most importantly, having a good number of really positive reviews that outweigh the one-star review, right? Now, that's a tactical thing. I'm not getting into reviews here. That is just an example of the fact that I have grown in confidence, but not by being confident in the first place that I knew everything, but by being confident that I could learn and that I would gain confidence and I would gain experience and I would learn to handle it. And so it has proved. But that started with courage and honesty. Courage, willingness to do what it takes, whether you're scared or not, and honesty, looking reality in the face. Okay, now let's talk about another quality that I touched on, which is wisdom. Wisdom is a very old-fashioned sounding word. You hardly ever hear anyone talk about it in all the many, many thousands of business books that are printed, and I've got shelves full of them at home. Probably 100, I think. I don't know exactly how many. My partner's always saying I should get rid of half of them because they haven't made me rich, and that's a very fair point, really. It's an extremely fair point, right? I think there is still wisdom for me to gain from a lot of them, but some of them probably do need, you know, taken to a charity shop. But I just very rarely see the word wisdom. Wisdom means, I think, you know, from experience, knowing what the right thing to do is. You know, courage is doing something when you know you should do it. Honesty is looking at what is actually happening in reality. But I think wisdom is, right, I've seen the, you know, it's the bridge between the two. Wisdom is, I've seen the problem. I've seen a problem. What's the right thing to do? You know? And that's not an easy question to answer, particularly in a startup, when sometimes if you're really pushing the envelope, you're really doing something new and brand new, that there isn't necessarily a precedent. Somebody's not done the same thing for you beforehand to copy. Fortunately, in the Amazon business, pretty much everything's been dealt with before in some facet or other, some way or other by somebody else. And so wisdom dictates, go and learn from other people who have dealt with a similar situation, right? Wisdom also says things like, don't overreact to one negative review, one duff product choice. Yeah? Don't overreact to X, and don't do nothing either. Don't underreact. You know, don't ignore your messages and just don't check them for 3 days in a row, which I've been guilty of occasionally, partly because I've just got very busy, but then that's kind of an excuse as well. Wisdom is also, you know, common sense is part of wisdom, which is to say, you know what, if you don't check your messages from your customers, don't be surprised if you get slammed for customer service. If you don't get samples of the products and be very selective about what you get, and you don't get quality control put in place, at least at FBA inspection or Earthcross Mail or whoever receives your inventory in the US, or if you don't inspect it yourself, if you're receiving it yourself in the UK, and preferably get quality control done in China, if you don't do some kind of quality control, don't be surprised if you get defects. And, you know, again, some one-star reviews or some pretty rude reviews saying, yeah, this thing fell apart after 2 days. You know, wisdom says that if you don't do A, then don't expect cause B, you know? Quality control A leads to B, better quality of product. Not surprising, right? But wisdom is sometimes just as simple as common sense. But on the other hand, if you've never been in the business of producing products before, which I haven't, or sourcing products generally from made by other people, then you wouldn't know about quality control. You'd probably just blithely assume that you ask for it and the manufacturer takes care of quality control. But that is now something I know from experience isn't true. So wisdom comes from experience. And ultimately, wisdom really comes from your own experience. But you can gain a lot of wisdom by absorbing other people's experience. However, with the massive, massive proviso and caveat and but, if you like, you must implement what other people are saying in order to test whether it is true for A, you, B, your marketplace, and C, is it still true? And what I mean by that is I don't mean you should implement everything you read. No, I'm not saying that. But if you wish to know whether something is really true, the only way to know is to test it against reality, which comes back to A, courage to act, and B, honesty to look at the results, right? So what I mean is, for example, if you believe that the private labeling model, where you basically get a ready-made product from, let's say, the model that's taught by people I've been trained with, and I'm not going to name names, that you go to Alibaba, you grab the nearest five, you know, products that look like they hit your price criteria and they'll do a reasonable minimum order quantity, you order a few samples, you slap your own label on it, and you put it up to Amazon and expect it to sell for a higher price point than the other 10 products which have pretty much the exact same design, and therefore the photographs look pretty damn similar. Right? Now, if you want to test that hypothesis, you need to have the courage to put some money down and the honesty to look after you put money down, guys, the honesty to look at the results objectively. It's not hard to look objectively at something and say, this is a crappy choice of product when you put no money in it. When you put money down, you start to try and twist reality to confirm the fact that you are right. Because obviously the alternative is really horrible, which is, I've just spent £2,000 and I have spent a lot of money and time and effort on this product, and actually I don't think it's going to sell above break even, because although I'm making sales, the Amazon ads are very expensive because there's a lot of people bidding on those keywords, and actually when I crunch the figures, it's only working at break even, and when I put the price up above that to a level where I'm making profit, the sales plummet. Right? That is an experience I've had, and I swear that if you're being honest, if you've had any experience of selling, if you're unlucky, you've had that experience as well. A lot of people have that experience. I speak to them, you know, they contact me for coaching or help, whether it's on the Facebook group or they send me an email. So, I know this is happening. And the only way you're going to test the hypothesis that just going to Alibaba and private labeling works is to do it, and then have the courage to do it, and also then the courage to confront your fears and be honest. The reason we're not rigorously honest once we've made a decision ourselves to commit ourselves financially is because we don't think we can handle the disappointment and all the other fears that come up of looking at the figures and going, crap, this isn't going to work. And that's a really hard, hard thing to have to do. But I truly believe that the only successful entrepreneurs are the ones who are able to look at things with a degree of objectivity. You're never going to be truly objective. And that is an objective truth that in and of itself, you should admit. You're not objective. And that's okay. You don't need to be like super objective. You're not the Financial Times trying to create an objective you know, set of information for people to choose from. And actually, that's probably not a very good comparison, because journalists are never objective. I mean, in theory they should be, but they're looking to make a good story, right? So very few people in the world are objective, because everyone has a reason, everyone has an angle, right? As an entrepreneur, you're looking to make money, you've made a product choice, so of course you really, really want the information that you get back from the marketplace, whether it's the numbers or the feedback from customers or whatever else. You want that, you pray for that to be positive, you want your choice to be right, of course you do. That's just called being human. But the courage comes from being willing to confront that honestly objective reality of the numbers above all, right? The words are important, and they're very, very important for marketing purposes, and they tell you a lot about what the customers think. But I think the ultimate truth in business is in the numbers. And you know what? It's not complicated. If you're going into business to make a profit, profit is a number at the end of the day, and therefore you have to ultimately be guided by the numbers, right? Not rigidly, not in a short-sighted way. I mean, the numbers long term, right? If you spend 6 months building a fantastic rapport with a bunch of would-be customers, and you ask them a bunch of good, intelligent questions, and then in month seven, you create a product that exactly hits their problems, and month nine, you launch it, then that has not been a waste of time, because the chances of you hitting a product that will sell well are much, much higher, much higher. And in a way, that's what I'm doing with the podcast. I mean, at some point, I will probably transition, if I keep it going for long enough, to paid coaching and consulting, and I make no bones about that. Most people will not want to pay, that's fine. Most people aren't the people I want as customers. But the podcast, by the way, will always be free. The Facebook group, at least the big one, will always be free. I may create a sort of elite paid for only mastermind or whatever, but the point is, this has not been a waste of time if I do that, because that will there be a bunch of people that I've given so much value to and have learned to know me warts and alls, that they can genuinely trust me because they know me. They really know me. They really know where I'm coming from, you know? It's the know, like, trust thing. So that isn't what I would call a waste of time, right? But there's a difference between numbers at the end of a process that is structured and numbers, you know, when, for example, you're aiming to make a profit in month three and you're making a massive loss, and you do everything you can possibly do in marketing and your product's still making a loss. You know what? The truth may be that you've just chosen the wrong product, or that your product needs severe tweaking, that it is not differentiated from anything out there, and therefore that you need to, you know, differentiate it much more strongly, and in its current form, it won't work. So I'm not saying that you should go from A to Z and go from A, I'm happy and this product choice is brilliant, to Z, it isn't working, I'm just going to throw everything out, throw the baby out with the bathwater. You should always tweak and test, yeah? If your product isn't selling in its current form, maybe you need to get the exact same product and repackage it. Yeah, that's worth doing. Maybe you need to sell the same product to a different marketplace. Maybe you need to go back to your manufacturer and tweak the product in very specific ways that your feedback from the marketplace is telling you, like, it needs to be stronger, it needs to be lighter, it needs to be X, you know? It needs to be made of this kind of material. Whatever it is, you know, so I'm not saying that you should bail on everything all the time, right? Just in the face of some bad feedback from the marketplace. That's not what I'm saying in the slightest degree. Remember, I didn't say that honesty in itself is enough. Honesty and depression is not a good combination, yeah? Neither is courage and delusion. But courage with honesty, very hard to do, by the way, I find, and most people do, but my God, it produces results. Courage plus honesty plus wisdom, hard qualities, and you'll spend your life developing those. Whether you're an entrepreneur or just as an employee or a dad or a mum or a lover or whatever, but they are just the killer combination. That is the secret of business. It's kind of an open secret. It's not a secret at all. It's the stuff that people have been striving towards in various religious or spiritual disciplines for hundreds, if not thousands of years. And it's very old school and old fashioned to say it, maybe. But I, from my experience, it's not abstract. From my experience, these things are actually half the time the barrier to moving ahead. Yeah? I'm not saying that practical considerations don't matter, like not enough capital, right? Not enough time. You're running out of money because you picked the wrong product and now you don't have enough money to go and buy the right product. Whatever, yeah? You know, of course these are real issues, but they are solvable by sticking to the fundamental character traits of courage, wisdom, and honesty. So you go off and the wisdom dictates, okay, I need to raise money. Other people have raised money in the history of business. In fact, if you look at the history of business, you'll realize very quickly, oh my goodness, people have been raising money for business when they didn't have enough capital themselves for pretty much as long as commerce has existed. So thousands of years, depending on which, you know, ancient civilization you look at. Yeah. So there's nothing new about that. Okay, good. Then other people must have done it. There must be a template for doing it. And sure enough, yes, you could go to an institution like a bank. You presumably have a business account anyway. Once you've got a little bit of traction in the marketplace and a little bit of a history financially, you could go to your bank and say, okay, could you lend money against cash flow? You could borrow money from a friend. You could get an equity investor and etc., right? You know, for example, yeah? Or you made a tough product choice, but there are things to be saved about it because actually you're not emphasizing the features in the right way, or actually your listing needs optimizing, or whatever it is. There's, you know, multiple ways to solve pretty much any business problem that exists. Doesn't guarantee, and again, this is the courage thing, there is no guarantee. As somebody put it, I can't remember who it was, if you want a guarantee, buy a toaster, right? There ain't a guarantee as an entrepreneur. There isn't actually really a guarantee of a so-called permanent contract being permanent if you're an employee. That's the dirty reality. Now, banks seem very happy to lend people money for mortgages based on so-called permanent employment contracts with huge companies like, I don't know, Sony or Barclays Bank or HSBC or whatever companies that we've all heard of that are international that seem infallible, huge, so-called blue chip, right? Reality is that Sony, one of the biggest, most impressive companies in the world, and one of the longest lived in the electronic space, which is very tough because innovation means that the product that is today's hot product is totally out of date 6 years later. I mean, think about it. I'm holding an iPhone that only started existing in 2007. Yeah. The whole smartphone category now exists. It wasn't even a gleam in anybody's eye, you know, 10 years ago. And Sony, for example, has lost, I think, a couple of years ago, they lost something like several billion dollars. That wasn't revenue, that was what they lost. It was what they lost. Insane. And as a result, not surprisingly, they let go of tens of thousands of people. Possibly it was even 100,000 globally, yeah? And we're always reading about this stuff. So there is no such thing as certainty. So even if you're an employee, you need courage to deal with the fact that nothing is guaranteed, right? Let alone as an entrepreneur, right? But the closest you're going to get to a guarantee is modeling what works. So have the wisdom, the humility to go, you know what? I don't know everything. I'm going to go learn stuff, but then have the courage to implement it. Because if you learn stuff and you don't do it, it's just a fantasy of a business. And there's nothing wrong with fantasy, right? As long as you're clear about the fact that it's a fantasy. For example, I watch James Bond movies. I want to watch every James Bond movie ever. I think I've only seen some clips of the latest one, whatever it's called, Spectre, and I'd love to see that. I don't delude myself that I'm actually, you know, a spy or that I want to be one. I don't want to kill people. I think that's a horrendous idea. I don't want to wear a dinner jacket all the time, although I wear a dinner jacket a lot. I am actually a classical musician by trade, you know, so that bit doesn't bother me. It looks quite cool. They look a little bit like James Bond. I don't even like Martini. And if you gave me a supercar to drive, I'd probably crash it. You know, although I would like to test that last theory, you know, in safe conditions, you know. So there are elements to his life I wouldn't mind, you know. And being surrounded by gorgeous women all the time. You know, I've in the past, I've had beautiful girlfriends and I've been faithful or unfaithful or whatever. And it can end up a car crash. So even that, in reality, although a great fantasy for a couple of hours of a film is not actually what I want in life. And that's cool because I know it's a fantasy. I use it to escape and I get back to normal life. If you are fantasizing about having a business, but you never take action, I'm fine with that. I have no criticism of that as long as you don't compare your real life to this stupid fantasy, well, not stupid fantasy, but whatever, this fantasy, and expect real life to measure up. Real life never measures up to fantasy. If you really want to be rich or richer, or even wealthier, you're going to have to get in there and risk the fact that your fantasy may actually just be a fantasy. It may not turn out the way you want. So that's the courage bit, yeah? So the wisdom to learn from other people, the courage to get in there and give it a solid go, you know? And adjust. And then the honesty to look at reality so that you can be guided by reality, objective reality, not what you want to hear, but what is actually happening, yeah? So guys, that's about it. That's my rant for the day. I hope that, you know, that hasn't made you feel bad or something, or told off, or I don't know. I don't quite know why I feel the necessity to say this today so passionately, except that I suppose it's two things. It's my own experience that actually the biggest barrier to me moving ahead is me, and the biggest barrier to my business moving ahead is me. And also because I think there are too many training courses out there and trainers who paint a very rosy picture. I'm not saying you shouldn't have confidence, and I'm not saying you shouldn't go for it. I'm not saying that in the slightest. What I want you to do is to either look into the Amazon business and make a clear decision. It ain't for me, but it was very, very interesting to learn about it, and I've learned a lot, and it's been thought-provoking, and maybe it's provoked an idea that you'll go and implement in a completely different way, and that's great. Or maybe you go, yes, the Amazon business is for me. In which case, if you're going to go into it, guys, I want you to succeed. I want you to succeed. But you're not going to succeed by being led by some delusion of grandeur. And we've all had them. Maybe I'm saying this so passionately because I've had that and I've been seduced by that. By the shiny object, by the latest marketer who says, yeah, this is easy. Don't worry about it. It's guaranteed. You know, it's the closest thing to a guarantee you got out there. No, I don't believe that. From my experience, that ain't the case. And I'm sorry to tell a hard truth, but if that means you don't go into a business model and you avoid disappointment because actually it wasn't what you thought, then I'm glad to put you off it. Not because I want you to put you off being an entrepreneur, but I want you to go in with your eyes open. Not negative. It isn't negative, right? If you go to a gym, you expect to sweat. That's not a bad thing. Working hard and having aching muscles isn't bad because you know you've achieved something. You know it's good for you. It's like I say to my piano students, I still teach piano. I'm like, don't expect this to be easy. That's not the point. The cool thing about it is that it tests your brain and it will make your brain tired after you practice. That's okay. It's a long-term game, but the satisfaction you get from mastering it is just amazing. It's the whole point is it's a challenge, right? If you can do a crossword in 1 minute flat, if you're a crossword fan, that's kind of a waste of time. You want something that's going to test your brain. You don't want something that's impossible because that's depressing, and you don't want something that is, you know, dead easy. You want something that's about the right level for you. Well, I'm here to tell you, yeah, you can be an entrepreneur if you want to be. Do it, guys. Go for it. But go for it with eyes open, knowing that the joy of it is the challenge that you're going to have to grow as a person. And that, my friends, is the point. I can't remember who said it. Jim Rohn said it. Many other people said something like, don't get rich because of what you'll have, but because of what it will force you to become. Now, that's kind of a bit holier than now. I want the money because I want the money, the things that go with it, which is the possibility of getting, say, a nice house, property. And I live in London, so property is stupidly expensive. So, you know, I want some money, and that's going to have to be quite a lot if I want property to live in. And I want to not do work that I hate as well. I want to have choices. I want to have freedom. I want to have everything else. But I'm recognizing that actually, in order to get that prize, I'm going to have to change as a person a lot. And actually, I'm up for that. I'm totally up for that. I want to become an entrepreneur. I want to become a business person. I want to become overall like a strong, capable human being. And actually, you know, the money flows from that. All right, what comes first is you. The money follows. What comes first is you offering value to a marketplace. And the money follows. What comes first is you having courage to take action, the wisdom and the humility to learn from other people, not just to reinvent the wheel. Why bother? But to have the courage to test what you've learned and see if it actually works for you. And then the humility again, but the honesty and the courage again to confront the fact that it might not be perfect first time out, and it might not be perfect at all, right? And be willing to live with that. And if you can be that person, you know, it's just a bit, I feel like this is starting to sound like If, you know, the poem by Rudyard Kipling. I mean, it comes from a very old-fashioned, sexist, racist kind of way of being from the early days of the British Raj, you know, from the early 1900s. And I don't endorse any of those values, but I like the spirit of courage behind it. You know, if you can keep your head while all around them are losing theirs, blaming it on you, you know, then, you know, all the world is yours and all that's in it, and which is more, you'll be a man, my son. You know, so if you take the sexism out of it and the racism or whatever, I mean, you know, if you can do this stuff, you know, you'll succeed. And which is more, you'll be a real entrepreneur, a real player, a really strong, exciting human being. So that's the genuine prize at the end of this, guys. A bit of money is one thing, but becoming an amazing person, that's something else. So guys, I hope this has been helpful. I hope it's inspiring rather than depressing. I think some tough truths in here, but I stand by them. I make no apologies for telling what I think is very important stuff that doesn't get talked about enough. Give me your feedback. It'll be very interesting because it's quite different from most of what I've done in the podcast as a whole, let alone recently. Go to the Facebook group, guys. As ever, that's the way the real community happens. www.amazingfba.com/FBF, as in Frank, B as in Bertie, or F for face, B for book. And let me know your thoughts and your experiences of how you think your character relates to business and your experiences of growing as a person because of business, or where your business failures were related to character failures. I'd be very, very interested in exploring this topic. A bit touchy-feely, but hey, you know, I just genuinely, hand on heart, think this stuff is just at the center of success and failure. So guys, thank you for your time as ever. Really honored to have your time and attention, because attention is one of the most precious things there is in the modern world, even more vital than money. I think there's rarer and more precious. And I thank you for your attention. Thank you for your thoughtfulness about, you know, reflecting on what's happening. And I thank you in advance for your Facebook comments. And other than that, go and think about this stuff and go and try and implement it. I honestly, hand on heart, think it will make a difference if you truly, truly take it to heart. So let me know your thoughts. And as ever, guys, go learn, do, review, which is kind of another way of putting all this stuff. Learn stuff, have the wisdom to learn, have the courage to do, and have the honesty to review. Look back on what you've done and see, is it working or not, and adjust. That's it for me. Speak to you in the next podcast.